reason for having Bibles is later on, you don't need to use it now, you will need to refer to it, because we actually want what Scripture is teaching as well as just our thoughts. Okay, so we're reading in the last chapter of the Bible, because our theme is Jesus and the prophets, we're reading in Revelation 22, verses 6.
The third thing is that we actually are to prophesy. It says we are to invite Jesus to come. So Henry
mentioned the word
coming
of Jesus.
And we'll have a whole week.
If you listen out, that would be good. Then the angel said to me, these words are true and can be trusted. And the Lord God, who gives his spirit to the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must happen very soon. Listen, says Jesus, I am coming soon.
So we are to
happy are those who obey the prophetic words in this book.
The Lord is coming.
I, John, have heard and
also,
seen all these things.
And, we are to invite
and when I finished hearing and seeing them,
drink.
I fell down
and we're
at the feet of the angel who had shown me these things. And I was about to worship him. But he said to me, don't
so
do it.
Do
I am a servant together with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and with all those who obey the words in this book. Worship
so again,
God.
We are being
and he said to me, do not
we
keep
are,
the prophetic words of this book a secret, because the time is near when all this will happen.
So we are not to keep
whoever
it to
is evil
so
must go on doing evil. Whoever is filthy must go on being filthy. Whoever is good must go on doing good. And whoever is holy must go on being holy. Listen, says Jesus, I am coming soon. I will bring my rewards with me to give to each one according to what he has done. I am the first. First and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who wash their robes clean and so have the right to eat the fruit from the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. But outside the city are the perverts, those who practice magic, the immoral and the murderers, those who worship idols and those who are liars both in words and deeds. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to announce these things to you in the churches. I am descended from the family of David. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
God's strength.
Everyone who hears this must also say, come. Come, whoever is thirsty, accept the water of life as a gift. Whoever wants it.
Given the fact
I, John, solemnly warn everyone who hears the prophetic words of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to his or her punishment the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes anything away from the prophetic words of this book, God will take away from them their share of the fruit of the tree of life and of the holy city, which was described in this book. He who gives his testimony to all this says, yes, indeed, I am coming soon. So be it.
So the
come,
of the
Lord Jesus.
And its collapse,
may the grace of the Lord Jesus
I have to
be
tell
with
I
everyone.
God never wanted built,
amen.
Because God
we're going to be focusing on that part of
but
Revelation for the next 3 weeks before we enter our Advent season.
But the
so three times, just in these verses that we've read,
something far better.
And if you read the letter to the Hebrews, four slides today, whatever you do, Akin, do not put the fourth slide
there is no temple
up until I tell you. Because
anyway,
otherwise it will spoil what you're
the
doing in your
group. The second sign is the sun and the
three
moon.
Three times Jesus declares, listen, I am coming soon.
Don't worry so much about rumors,
verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20.
They have forever been.
And today, as we ask the question, well, what
right,
can we learn?
Will be.
We're particularly thinking about how we should live now that we have been told that Jesus is coming again.
The sun and
I think you've probably got that idea, either through your years of following Jesus or through this series, that Jesus says he's coming again, and with him the Father and the Spirit, and that they will live with the people of God. And as
it
a bride waits
a
for and meets her husband, so too the church waits
and
for the Lord Jesus.
As it daily orbits
and we asked
Earth,
this question in a small discussion group we had when people joined in after the service, and it came up again. How do we live, therefore, in the light of what we know about Jesus'
return? Return of Christ.
The revelation Jesus Christ gave to John was for a reason,
remember,
so that he could pass it on to the
to
churches,
the
so that
return,
the churches
the
would also
Christ,
ask, not just as individuals, but as
new.
God's people,
and at that
how
time,
should we
no
then live?
Light
We have a different understanding now, hopefully, of the visible and the invisible world, and we should live differently from those who only perceive the world in a material way, only with human eyes and understanding. Our perspective should be different.
We,
but also understanding the revelation, will enable us to look at our own lives and the world and the history of the world quite differently.
Okay?
Even those
and
who are not believers,
every
even
time
secularists,
you look at them every day,
admit
we are now a
that
day
most of the universe is invisible
and
hidden.
Yes, the Jews
unless
will
God
receive, according to the teaching of Romans,
to us. Scientists
if the casting out of the Jews
that,
meant the
right
we don't
of the
live
Gentiles,
just with
then
human
what will their
restoration mean?
We live
pray that there will be Jews and Muslims that come to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ and look
it's
for his
on.
Return. And in the continent of India, when you go back to India, it is with the longing that
just Hindus three times more that this one
and
is
Jainists
shown.
The
spirit
Sikh
is speaking
and those
to
who
real
worship
churches.
Ancestors
that's
in
very
the
important
as a simple
fact
to worship.
And John the Apostle
Jesus.
Is John of Patmos,
and in London, where all the nations
because he'd been subversive for
the
Jesus.
Sun and the
he's been telling people about Jesus, and so he's been banished to this island. He's caught up in the Holy Spirit. What he sees is not just human reasoning, but it's actually revelation from God. The prevailing threat of the day,
Jesus,
and
come,
he's writing
Lord
about
Jesus,
AD 90, we know
come,
is the Roman Empire. Don't just
sing.
Sit at the back, you need to join
Greater
somebody, that's the rule of today. You can sit at the back with Jim, it's fine,
so
he's quite nice,
sing.
I've known him
then
a long time,
you a blessing
you'll need
from
to,
Peter,
to move into a group.
Who speaks
okay,
about
so the prevailing threat is the Roman Empire, and also the challenge of the Holy Spirit is to be faithful and to endure. To live in a way that is pleasing to God. Next slide, please. And this will be the one that we lead into the groups with. Right, how do we use the time that we have while we wait? It's all very well to declare at the end of every communion service, we break this bread, we drink this wine, until he comes again. But how do we actually live? Because so many of us are making plans based on different priorities other than the priority of the return of Jesus Christ. And I include myself in that. It's very interesting and easy to default back to looking after myself and my family rather than actually to have our default mechanism set to what Jesus is doing. So our focus today is to actually ask this question. How will we use the time? How will we live? And we're going to use not just our bright ideas, although that's fine, but this particular section of Scripture. And I would say to you, try not to jump to other sections. Don't try and be clever today. Just use these verses, okay? Because we haven't got long, but we're going to be working on it over 3 weeks. Very important question, therefore, is to do with timing. And I have made the point, and I corrected myself 2 weeks ago and said, we're seeing scenes, not just from when Jesus first came to when he comes back again, but we're seeing scenes of what is happening between the creation accounts of Genesis and the second coming of Jesus to finally deliver God's people and create a new world. We've said that certain scenes are repeated more than once, that the accounts are rarely chronological. Nevertheless, there is throughout the Revelation this growing progression, an awareness of the future return of Christ and of final things, including Judgment Day and the establishing of a new heaven and earth, as well as the disappearance of this old heaven and earth. We said that the most significant parallel with this chapter, Revelation 22, in the last book of the Bible, is the first chapters of Genesis, where rivers and beautiful jewels and resources are spoken about. So in the Revelation, we've been pointed back to ancient scriptures, but we've also been pointed forward to things that are yet to come. So it's quite an amazing book. We've begun to see, I hope. And we certainly can't just leave it because we don't understand it. We have to struggle with it. So to emphasise my point, just to doubly underscore it, the doctrine, the teaching about creation, God's creation, runs from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And it's not limited to 6 days or to 6 eras, at the beginning of Genesis, but God's doctrine of creation runs through the whole of Scripture and includes his new creation through Christ Jesus and includes a new heaven and a new earth. And in fact, it goes on beyond that. All right, so don't get too tied in to just the idea of 6 days or six eras. Look at what he's doing in the doctrine of creation through the whole, God is doing the whole of Scripture. And the end of Revelation shows the passing of the old heaven and earth that we know and Jesus making everything new. And we're told in verse 6 that this revelation can be trusted. That's the claim of John. It is to be trusted. And the church has agreed with that and so put it within the canon of Scripture, that it is to be trusted. When will all this happen? When will it all be completed? When will Jesus come again? Well, the statement is soon. And so people sing, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. It may happen before some of us die. It may not. But it's going to be soon. And so we read in verse 6, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel, sent his messenger, to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And that word is underlined. Since that, many things spoken of in this revelation have actually taken place. Let me give you one example, the historic collapse of Rome and its empire, which is depicted as Babylon. That has happened, right, in history. But I note, of course, that Babylon has been reconstructed many times since then. It's still being constructed. Babylon is present here in London. Babylon is in Mumbai. Babylon is in all places where humanity has tried to construct something that excludes God. But some of the things spoken of have happened. But ultimately, the soon will only be fulfilled at what we call the parousia. And that word is very important. Jesus is not just coming back in a spiritual sense. Jesus is not just coming back in terms of people's personal salvation. But literally and materially, Christ will appear and every eye will see him. That's the claim of Scripture. So ultimately, the soon will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. So we ask, when will Jesus come? When will God come to dwell with his people? When will the new heavens and earth come into being? Well, in God's timescale and in this earth's timescale, which has existed for millions of years, 2,000 years plus is soon. So from the time when these promises were made by Jesus through John, just 2,000 years have passed. Now, I believe the early Christians were expectant that Jesus would come before some of them died. And that hasn't happened. Many people then will say, well, Jesus has come. Well, he hasn't yet returned in the way described here. But for us, the elements of hope, the expectation of waiting, are key elements in our discipleship. And that was mentioned. We wait. We are expectant. We hope. And that is part of our discipleship. We are not disappointed. We are waiting with expectancy. And we need to ask ourselves how we should live in the now, but also prepare for the future. So are we to live in the now? Today has enough worries. We should live in the now. It's incredibly important in our spirituality. But also we live to prepare for the future when Christ returns. Let me give you a quick quote from John Stott. Christian disciples are characterized by faith, hope, and love. We know the importance of those things, don't we? Faith apprehends the already of Christ's achievement, so we apprehend what Christ has done. But hope looks forward to the not yet of salvation. But love is to characterize our life now in the meantime. So faith, hope, and love are all important. So soon may not be, might be, if you like, chronologically inaccurate. We don't know.
Will it be tomorrow? Will it be 3 months? Will it be another 1,000 years? Who knows? It's inexact, but theologically it's correct. And in God's terms, what is a few 1,000 years? And that's what Peter wrote. You and I need to have a bigger understanding of time and eternity. All our time scopes are on our life scale. So now we're delighted we might live not just to 70, but to 105 or whatever. And we might listen to the voice of, you know, the man that's just been awarded in Czechoslovakia the Medal of Honor. And he said at 105, I have lived to see all of my friends die. But it's nothing. And Peter said this, there is no difference in the Lord's sight between a day and 1,000 years. And in the terms of the length of the earth and the universe and what God is doing, that's absolutely true. I used to think that was a coverall for all eventualities. It was like the insurance let out. You can always say, well, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. But there is no difference with God, who is working in terms of what is eternal and not just bounded by time. It's a reality. Okay, we are going to split into groups. We're going to have about 6 or 7 minutes. You're going to use your Bibles, and I would like you to use discussion. Try and get everyone in the group to say something. And you're going to need to remember it. And in a minute, Hillary's going to write them up on the board and see if you and I agree in a way. But how are we to spend the time? What do we do while we wait? Okay? And you're going to split into groups of 4 or 5. So a group like this will be Aubrey, Elizabeth, Linda, Hillary, Amanda, somebody like this. Split into groups of 5. And that is the question. What do we do while we wait for Jesus? Okay? If anybody's not in a group, I shall come and put you in a group. So choose one, then you'll be happier. What do we do while we wait for Jesus? By the way, if you don't want to speak, you can always say, no comment. Okay? And then one person from each group is going to tell us something very key. What do we do while we wait? If people have babies, you're going to have to move to them. So don't let Tay off. He can move towards you, or you can move towards him. If you don't know someone, make sure you ask their name. If some group's too noisy, then move. Plenty of room. Okay, if you first speaker should have finished now, move on to the next one so that everybody has a chance to contribute.